Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome to another fun-filled episode of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name's Amino Hassan. That's Big Jerb. That's Black Trey. Shout out to the Patreons, patreon.com/countthedings. If you are a Patreon, you already know. You get this whole episode, bing, bang, boom, in its entirety, not chunked up. If you are a Patreon, you're getting that OG podcast that's dropping now every week. Me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom and Jade, we're all back together. We're doing the damn thing. And if you are a Patreon, you're getting those watch-alongs. You're getting the Discord, which, by the way, is getting revamped. That's right. New Discord, new access, new, especially as Twitter turns into a fucking wasteland, Discord will be your friend, man. It's a nice space of like-minded people. We're just here to have a good time, share memes, laugh, talk about shit that we talk about. So make sure you are a Patreon, patreon.com/countthedings. All right, let's get started. Chappelle hosted SNL, and man, let me tell you something, man. I just got done doing radio, NBA radio, and we were talking about Steph Curry and the start of the season he's had. You guys know this. Steph Curry is shooting 68%. On two-point shots. He's taking 9 shots a game inside the three-point line and shooting 68% on them. In the restricted area, right? Like right at the rim, he's shooting 78%. And if you've been watching any Warriors game, you're watching Curry, you see he's on a different goddamn level right now. And that's what Dave Chappelle's monologue looked like. It looked like someone who's shooting 78% at the rim and 50% from three. It was amazing. I mean, did he miss? Was there anything that didn't land?
I don't think he missed at all. And I think that, again, whether the message is the same or not, bro, he knew how to say it. And motherfuckers ain't pushing back at that shit. You feel me? Like, it was to a point where how we've, Even the fucking barbershop skit was so fucking dead on to a point where it's like, if you get it, you get it. And the way how he knows how to, like, again, even him hitting on, like, yo, the underlining joke of, like, nigga, I got to read this to say that I'm not anti-Semitic, even though you niggas know that I'm not anti-Semitic. Secondly, I grew up with Jewish people, bro. Like, so again, I'm afraid to say this shit, and I don't know what the consequences is, but I'm still gonna say it, nigga. And that shit hard to me. And he knew how to deliver it in all different ways.
There's two things, Trey. Number one is he always knows how to deliver, right? His delivery is second. But number two, and I think this is important for people to recognize, he's a comedian. Like, there are people, because there's always someone who's upset about everything all the time. There are people upset about what he said. I'm like, he's telling jokes. He's telling jokes up there. Like when he says, if it's a group of black people, it's a gang. A group of Italians, it's a mob. And if it's a group of Jewish people, it's just a coincidence and we shouldn't talk about it. It's a joke. It's a joke. You know how I know it's a joke? Because a group of black people is not a gang and a group of Italian people isn't the mob. So how is that punchline going to be the part that you take seriously, but you recognize everything else as a joke?
I think you hit it right on the head, bro. You hit it right on the head with the Steph Curry analogy. Even when he comes back and brings it, like, you know, he does the whole thing and he brings it all full circle, and then he brings the chain out.
Bring that, like, chain back out, nigga.
Yo, it was literally just watching a true, I don't want to say genius, a true just legend, a true master of their craft. I mean, a comic genius, right? Like
35
just
years in.
Come on, bro. And then just to see him, it was like watching a perfect weave. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yo, he ran everything through this monologue to absolute perfection.
Nigga, it was that synchronizing walk video, nigga. Yes, nigga, it did not fucking collide. That's what that shit was, nigga. And I was hyped because I'm like, thank you. You know the fucking Michael Scott shit where the nigga say, thank you, nigga. That was me. Because this is the same shit niggas been saying for like 2-3 weeks. Like, again. And this is a nigga who was like, even the funny part about it was like, nigga, you said that all along. Even I won. He like, nigga, I done ran this nigga defense so many times. But when he did that shit, I was like, nah, I'm gonna let it. You know what I mean? And that's how niggas in America are thinking. Like, hold on, nigga. He was hitting on every fucking point the right. Like, if you felt offended off that shit, man, you don't get comedy, first off. Secondly, you just too serious about everything. I can't fuck with you. And third, go ahead.
When he said Trump, he walked out the house, said everything that y'all think is happening in that house is happening. And then he walked back in the house and started kept playing the game. He said, it's like this nigga took out his Illuminati card and did a line of coke off of it. Yo, I was fucking in tears, bro. He had another one. What was he saying? Oh, man. Fuck, I wish I'd written down.
I mean, the fact that he got that off in 15 minutes versus some comedians need to do in 2 hours.
That was a full stand-up.
We just on the low, we got a Dave Chappelle special real quick. Yo, when he said that shit about Trump's wife, he was that's like, yo, I gotta look at different now. Yo,
that James Bond with smash, but not really trust. Dog, that is such an insane goddamn joke, man. That's such an insane joke. Just, man, like, masterclass. That's what that was. That was a master fucking class in just how to do it.
He's got a tour coming up, right? I feel like
he's on him right now. Him and Chris
Rock. Tour right now. Yeah, he had a joint like a couple weeks ago. That shit was at midnight, though. I couldn't pull up.
I gotta see that.
Radio City, or what was that? What was that one?
Trey? I think it was at Radio City. It was like 200. It was like $200 too.
But you know what? You know what, dog? That's a $200 that, like, I can justify saying, yo, it's worth it. You getting two?
Yeah, no, I ain't fighting it. Listen, he's at that level where he could get that off. But I'm just like, nigga, on a Sunday night.
Oh,
it's a Sunday night going. I'm like, nigga, I got a lot of shit to think about. That's traveling into the city and coming back home after leaving this nigga show. This show might not answer three.
No, yeah, he'd be having the marathon ass shows,
mm-hmm.
Especially if it's not taped and everyone's phone.
Have y'all seen him live?
Yeah.
You have? Okay.
Yeah.
I seen a nigga accidentally do some shit.
See, that's what I'm at. Yo, honest to God, the one thing people say, oh man, like, you don't wish you lived in New York or LA? The only reason I would wish I lived in New York and LA or LA is just I want to be able to go to the comedy club every night. Go to the club every night, go in there, and because you never know who pops up. Like, man, so Zach was telling me he's seen Dave Chappelle like 3 times at the comedy store.
Down the street from there, bro, when I lived in Beverly Hills. Hang out, and we would pull up. We'd go get drinks. We hang out in that little area right there at the comedy store. And then
you just right go out sit that there. Little courtyard outside.
Yep. I'll be out there smoking some weed with the comedians. Then I come in, and all of a sudden, you see a nigga cloud of smoke. You're like, who the fuck is this smoking cigarettes? First of all, you're not supposed to smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
Who the fuck smoking cigarettes? Dave Chappelle. Yep. And you be like, damn, this nigga about to try out some jokes right now? Fuck it. Like, you know, and it'd be so many niggas that just pull up in there and you'd be thrown off like, damn. But yeah, dog. You know what I mean? Like, that was probably one of my favorite times because I didn't kick it at actual clubs. I was hanging out at the comedy clubs, chilling. Here in New York, I ain't really did that like that. I mean,
That's why I told you. So we'll get to this a little later, but I told y'all that I saw Kevin Esau outside the
in Atlanta too.
Yeah, we'll get to that when we talk about Atlanta. But yeah, like just like if you're at the Cellar, you just hang out right there. All right, outside. They're all there. They're all just walking around and shit and just fucking around. So like
the Cellar is the name of a comedy club.
Yeah, comedy club in New York. Yeah.
Okay.
So, nah, man, that's the one thing I miss. Like here in Arizona, like you get like obviously the weekend, you'll get good acts coming in doing their shows or whatever. But if you're going in on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, first of all, a lot of them ain't even open. And the ones that are be open mic night and shit like that, man. Like. I'd love to be somewhere where I'm just watching these guys just work on material because that's the fun part, man. When they're just out there, just trying shit. I remember is it Chocolate Tuesdays, Trey, at Improv? You muted, but he said yes.
I think it is. I want to say yes. You talking about the Hollywood Improv, right?
Yeah, Hollywood Improv. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
They had like D-Ray hosts the show. There and it's like it'd be like black comedians and you know Donnell Rawlings and like and sometimes it's comedians you never heard of and that's the fun part too. It's like I don't know who you
Tony
are.
Tony Rock was doing something like that too.
Yep, you make me laugh. Like it's one of the things I love. I love just going to the club. Like I don't know who you are, but you made me fucking laugh. I went and saw Tony Baker up in Burbank doing Flappers at Flappers in Burbank. And again, yeah, same thing. I
Burbank is crazy.
I'm here for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's probably the reason why, like, I never get offended by comedy, man. Like, it's either funny or it's not funny. That's it. No, was your joke?
I like comedy to make me groan. Like,
let me ask you that? Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that
out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodles is like,
ah, whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with the plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Let me go a little off topic here from Dave Chappelle, because Van Lathan posted this on his account. I almost responded. First, I'm going to leave a comment. I'm like, nah, that's not the right idea. Because then, like, just the shit show of Instagram comments, right? Then I was like, I'm going to DM him. Then I was like, you know what? What does it matter? Like, why do I feel... I'm friends with Van, but, like, why do I feel the need to convince him of some shit or whatever? Van was saying, his post was, as I pull it up right here, just so that I get the caption right. I don't want to put words in his mouth, pause if necessary. It was, here we go. It was a video of the dude that won the Senate race in Pennsylvania who beat Dr. Oz, right? And he was like doing his acceptance speech or his victory speech or whatever. And in the corner, there's this, I guess there's this conservative comedian. I don't know who it is. I've never heard of the dude. But he's making jokes. He's joking like, oh, they look like they're wearing like basketball shorts or whatever. Da, da. And then he made like a Trayvon Martin joke. And Van's caption is, sorry to anger you guys, but listen to Steven Crowder, that's his name, poke fun at the slaughter of Trayvon Martin. This is an American conservative comedian making money off pain of black people, mocking Trayvon Martin for laughs. There will be no boycotts here, no suspensions, no sensitivity training, no nothing. A lot of pushback you're seeing recently is because we live in this world where being insensitive and ignorant towards us isn't a mistake. It's a career. Slogans on T-shirts from even black men sometimes. Jokes, movies, platforms, all profit off of excoriating black people. By and large, when this happens, we just have to fucking swallow it. Now, I get what he's saying. And in 99% of society and art even, I think he's right. But dog, you can't compare what a basketball player or what a musician says or posts or whatever to a comedian making jokes. Even if the jokes are offensive to you, at the end of the day, that dude's making jokes. Is it my type of comedy? No. Did I think the joke was funny? No. But I can't say, oh, but it ain't going to be no sense. No, because he's a comedian. What sensitivity training? Where are we? When we're expecting the comics to to go to HR for words, not for things they've done to people.
That's your man Lane, though. So that's why I'm like,
I get it. But that's why,
regardless, if you leave a comment, cool, like, you know what it is. No, you ain't really trying to go there with him. So you like,
yeah, like I my thought process was like, leave a comment. I'm like, nope, because then everyone's gonna be like, oh, me likes like racist jokes. Then I was like, I'm gonna tell him, I'm gonna DM him. Then I'm like, why? Why? Like, I'm not gonna convince Van of anything in this moment. Either he's fully 10 toes deep into that belief, and what I say ain't gonna change his mind, or Van is maybe exaggerating a little bit for the lane he's in, in which case, again, that's not gonna.
Again, like,
there's no way.
The past month has been whataboutisms. That's it. Niggas just want to be like, because nigga gonna pull up Riley Cooper if a nigga do all that, and that's Riley again. Cooper. Nigga, the, Riley Cooper.
The, nigga, don't act like you don't know who the fuck
don't act like you Riley, know Cooper who is. Riley Cooper
this
is.
This nigga all of a sudden. You got amnesia, nigga?
Oh, nigga hating Riley Cooper. I ain't got no love for nigga hating Riley Cooper. That's his name.
Like Riley.
I haven't heard that name in so long.
Doesn't ring a bell. Doesn't ring a bell.
No suspension. Play. Got fined. But again, that's a good comparison. But again, why is niggas bringing that up? You know what I mean? Like, it's whataboutism. It's like more so the focus.
Damn, I forgot all about him.
I bet you did. I don't want to do Kyrie talk part 700, but it's just like,
no, we ain't got to do all that shit.
And no, but like, but it is something that's like, yo, like I got into this with my group chat where niggas were saying, oh, but Brett Favre, da da da. I said, yo, real talk, none of you fuckers gave a fuck about Brett Favre. And you guys never talk. I said the reason. Oh, they keep talking about it, but they don't talk about Brett Favre. Like, motherfucker, I don't see you talking about Brett Favre. And my boy said, I talk about Brett Favre. I said, when did you bring up Brett Favre? When this Kyrie shit happened? I said, exactly.
What about his?
You don't really give a fuck about Brett Favre in the same way that white people really don't give a fuck about Chicago. It's just something you bringing up to avoid the responsibility of the moment. It's the responsibility of the moment. I'm not saying Brett Favre ain't a piece of shit. Of course he's a piece of shit. But when you say, well, they're not talking about him, like, nigga, you're not talking about him.
And Brett Favre been a piece of shit.
But here's the thing, dick pics. But here's the thing, though. Niggas send dick pics,
though. No, but I mean.
I'm saying, that don't make a nigga a piece of shit.
No, I'm just giving a timestamp. I'm not saying, let me clarify. I'm not saying sending a dick pic made him a piece of shit. I'm saying he's been a piece of shit since back then. That's what I'm trying to say.
I will say this again. The FBI is building a case on this nigga. When they ready to kick it the door and wave it to 4-4, they will do so.
Ain't shit gonna happen, yo.
I disagree. But at the end of the day, we need to stop the whataboutisms. How can we fix the situation on what it is? If you don't like Kanye, cool. Let's stop talking about the nigga. Ignore him. If you mad about the Kyrie shit, cool, be mad. But again, saying, oh, nigga, I'm a boycott Nike. No, you're not.
No, you not.
I'm going to stop watching the NBA. No, you're not. You don't care that much.
You don't care.
Niggas was losing their mind during the pandemic when we didn't have to leave for like 30 days. Now you about to tell me you just going to stop watching it all together?
Please. Hey, a nigga not about to settle for no other brand, bro, not to be fly, and a nigga not about to give up the NBA.
That's my thing. It's like, you don't really care like that. And I was like, you don't care. Like, oh, I care when people do shit to poor people. Like, no, you don't. No, it's shit that sounds nice to say out loud.
Hey, but you don't one really of the homies care. Called me out on that, and I fuck with him still to this day. My nigga said, he was telling me about how the welfare system has hit L.A., so hard where kids not even getting fed at school, right? Mm-hmm. And my response was like, damn, dog, that's heartbreaking. He said, no, you're not. You're not heartbroken. You just saying that shit because if you really was heartbroken, you would be doing something about it.
Right.
It's just the convenience of the word or saying it like to pander the opportunity of this particular moment.
That doesn't mean we don't
we don't sympathize with
it. That shit sucks. Yeah, that shit sucks. That shit fucking sucks.
But to be like, oh man, dog, that's sad. You're not sad, nigga. You're not sad, bro.
Yo, I'm thinking about the few times both of you gentlemen on separate occasions have DM'd me and just been like, yo, come on. And I just be like, yo, get the fuck out of here, dog. Like, yo, like, I feel it. I understand. But this shit crazy. Y'all are two funny individuals. That's all
I'm saying. No, we not just saying.
Funny guys.
I do want people to be human. I get that.
Yeah.
But when you go to the part, and I'm guilty of it. I did this shit plenty of times where niggas done use me as a vessel to be like, go hard on this nigga. And I'll press a nigga online, like, what's up, nigga? Like, hey, nigga, what's all that shit you talk about? And then I'll be looking crazy. Yeah. A couple months later,
this nigga said, like, what's up, nigga? You know what I'm saying?
Like, I really can sock a nigga online. Like, I can't, bro. Like, I can't press a nigga. Like,
what happens 2 months later?
I just finish that like thought. A dickhead because I have to fucking deal with the people later on. Like, hey, man, so we on a pod together. That's awkward. Or it's in a situation where it wasn't that deep. It was 3 days of frustration when you just got to give time. You know what I'm saying? And I'm done overreacting or being that type of freedom fighter for like social media where like, nigga, that shit exhausting. Could you imagine reacting to everything? Fucking thing?
Yeah, do it, bro.
It's not going to happen.
Even if I made a career out of it, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it, man.
You're going to look like motherfucking... Barack, nigga. You look like Barack,
yeah,
nigga.
Age, you're gonna age.
8 year term. You're gonna age so fast, nigga. This all this shit gonna be great. We'll be looking like Jacques Vaughn up in this bitch.
Yo, so, I would say great, but do a comeback though. Cause then I'm back on. Jerv, would you be a freedom fighter on social media if it meant you get your hairline back?
Oh my nigga. What?
What? That nigga be I would be in front of the cops.
What's my man? Fuck. The dude that be on top of all the social issues all the time.
The dude that
they said ain't even black.
Oh man. Oh, Sean King.
Sean King.
I'll be Sean King, bro. I'll be Sean King like a mother. Hairline be down here. Christy.
He got the motherfucker.
Yo, I've never seen that dude.
Paul George. Oh, you talking about in real life?
In person, yeah. I've never seen him either.
No, I've never seen a video. I'm starting to think that nigga is PSYOP, like a 3D rendered nigga that is just created.
Like that weird rapper that got signed. Remember him?
Oh, the AI nigga? Yes.
Yeah, he was rapping about the Tesla truck. And I'm like, how do you get a Tesla truck? They're like, wait.
I do believe that nigga might be a PSYOP nigga that they created. The government created this nigga. He ain't a real nigga. It's a nigga. No, but it was I think a homie told me he went to school with the nigga or something. And I was like, all right.
Really?
Okay.
Ain't no class pictures pop up, no nothing, dog.
This nigga, he looked like Aaron Williams that used to hoop for the Nets.
Oh shit. Yeah, the whitest black man ever.
The whitest black man.
two straight weeks. Yeah, he looked exactly like a creative player. But 2 straight weeks of Aaron Williams references on the show. Shout out to that. Yo, man, let me tell you something. My Instagram Explore page recently has turned into like the niggas that get like the tattoo. Hairline, oh, man, I hate how if you look at like Instagram long enough, like at some point, like maybe it does work. I hate that. I hate it so much, man. This shit was so dumb to me, and
that's
now I'm like,
that's marketing, man. That's good.
Now I'm like, maybe. I'm holding my shit, like. Could they make it look natural? Like, what do I do? Do I grow it out a little bit so it doesn't look... Oh, man.
I ain't gonna lie. I thought of Jerv the other day, man. It was a meme on Facebook. Of course it's Facebook, right? It's a bald nigga, but he was getting ready to get his, like, shit... like,
the glue shit?
Planted on. But the nigga put the glue where it looked like sesame seeds. It shit looked like a burger. I don't fucking know.
Like,
I was
like the top of a big...
But that got to do with me.
But the nigga was your skin tone. So you're like, nigga, you look like a bun, nigga.
That's wild, man. Yo, real quick, that's wild. Have y'all seen?
The killer nigga, you look like a bun is crazy. Yeah, that's my point. That's fucking real.
That's gonna do it for us here on Black Opinions Matter. Again, shout out to Jerv. Shout out to Trey. Thank you, the listener. Patreon.com/countthedings. Make sure you're a subscriber. If you were a subscriber, you would have got this entire podcast all at once as opposed to in the little chunks. You also get the OG show that me, Trey, Waz, Zach, Tom, and Jay do. You also get the watch-alongs. You also get the Discord, all type of shit. Make sure you're a subscriber. Get tap in all of this stuff, all the good feelings. Until next time, stay black, motherfucker.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.